Welcome to Close Up Radio, where our hosts, Doug Llewellyn and Jim Masters, bring you the amazing stories of people who answered the call to unlock their potential and taken control of their own success with authenticity, creativity, persistence, and resilience. Close Up Radio special guests share their knowledge and wisdom so you, the listener, can live the most empowered life possible. Close Up Radio. And now, here's today's host, Jim Masters.
Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. This is Jim Masters. It's noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, and it's a pleasure to have you with us here on this Wednesday, August 11th, 2021. That's the time of this broadcast, which will be archived, and you'll be able to hear this broadcast again in our archives. Summer is moving along in a New York minute very quickly, so make the most of it. And thanks for being with us on this episode of Close Up Radio Live all around the world. Today we're spotlighting on this episode Patricia Rhine of True Accent Coaching and Consulting. You know, Patricia is a certified coach. She absolutely loves what she does. She specializes in organizational development as a consultant, and she's the founder of True Accent Coaching and Consulting. True Accent is where she helps her clients ascend toward achieving their business aspirations and goals. And she helps people ascend in that direction, and that's why the name of the company, True Accent Coaching and Consulting, is so perfect and so appropriate. Patricia works primarily with executives and managers who find they're not as effective as they would like to be, or as maybe they even think they are. There are a lot of people who have risen to the top because they were great, you know, practitioners, but they were never given the tools along the way to become really great leaders. We're going to talk about some of that, empathy, communication, some of the things that are really important. Patricia helps her clients discover the insights that will actually lead them to change behaviors in a positive way. She says it's incumbent upon a leader to really take a look in the mirror and reflect. What do you aspire towards? Questions you should be asking yourself. What would you ultimately like to be? Either would you want to be different or better? All important questions. Patricia also works with individuals looking to make a shift in careers. Patricia supports these clients as they discover what their true passion might be or their next passion might be as well. She really enjoys helping people discover their answers or their next move. And sometimes through the process, that's developed. Sometimes they don't know what that is. But through the conversations and the coaching and consulting, it's realized. And that can be a beautiful thing. Ultimately, she says, we do have to realize we are the ones putting a barrier in front of ourselves. Now, prior to launching True Accent Coaching and Consulting, Patricia spent 38 years in organizational development and leadership development for healthcare, telecommunications, and financial institutions. And she says throughout her career, she's worked her way up and across leadership career ladders. She's very proud that she's embraced her own lessons learned toward greater presence and compassion. And she believes that really does truly benefit others. And she does the work for the benefit of others. And it's beautiful when you have an opportunity in life to live and do work that really speaks to you, as Patricia is doing and as I'm doing as well on television and radio. Blessed, and we share it with the world. Let's welcome Patricia to our show, Close Up Radio, for the very first time, live and direct from beautiful Sumner, Washington. Patricia, welcome to Close Up Radio. It's a pleasure to have you with us today.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's a pleasure to be here. What a lovely intro.
You are very, very welcome, and it's all true, and it was approved by your mother. She loved it.
I'm sure she would.
if they don't approve it, they usually send it. and that's one thing. You got to laugh. You got to have levity, because life, as we've learned in the last 17, 18 months, can come at you in a lot of different directions, and I am sure you've had, especially being a coach and a consultant, a lot of your clients and people in general just coming to you for guidance, support, solace. What is my next move? What do I do now? I had everything all planned out. I was working in this direction, and now, boom, what has happened with us with the pandemic and everything else has thrown a monkey wrench in some of the plans for people. I don't doubt you've been extra busy helping your clients navigate and negotiate some of it, huh?
Yeah, I really have. In fact, this has been, in some ways, a great time. I don't think the pandemic's a great thing at all, but there have been some gifts that have come from it, and part of that is that people are now looking at things a little differently. So, you know, some of those leaders that I coach who have been on the same path for many years have had the opportunity when they were sent home to work to kind of take stock and see what was really making them happy about what they've been doing and what they didn't really like doing, which one weighed a little bit more. So I've had a lot of opportunity more recently to have discussions about, you know, what else could I be doing? You know, what else could be on the horizons for me besides what I've been doing for 20 years? It's a lot of fun for me. I think it is. It's a hard journey for some, you know, especially people who have probably put most of their confidence in the fact that they've been doing something for a long time, and so they know it. And now they're possibly exploring the opportunity of jumping off that limb and not knowing if there's a net to catch them going into something completely new.
Exactly. Exactly right. And it's a good way to start, you know, because obviously you have to be flexible and be able to pivot, and people are changing jobs now, and there's been this working at home and the technology usage and just a lot of different things that we've had to embrace. And then, like you say, look in the mirror and say, you know, where am I going to ascend to next? What do I want to do with what I've got already and the skills and the mindset and propel from there? Or do I want to make a complete change? For you, you've had this wonderful experience working with a lot of different companies and helping people really understand the role of a leader. For you, let's talk a little bit about some of your background in leadership and where your expertise comes from, and what was the initial, on your life's journey, sources of inspiration to create the company?
Oh, I love this. You know, I started many years ago working in telecommunications, and I was an operator. You know, I had no idea what I was going to do with my life. And I was given an opportunity to work on a project in the organization's think tank. And that was the first time I ever got a chance to see what organizational development was. I had no idea what it was. I'd never even heard of it. I had a person I was working for who became my mentor. He was sort of the star of the organization and had a lot of great ideas, very inspirational. And I kind of caught the bug. I realized that this is something I really like doing. I like figuring out how to unpack problems and dig deep to the core or the root of the issue, and then trying to find ways to correct it or, you know, go past it. And I just had such a great time when I was early in my career trying to figure out how to be a practitioner. Through that and a lot of school, I found myself really gravitating toward that all the time. That did become my passion. I felt that I really needed to do my best work, and I could do my best work if I was practicing organizational development. So I was lucky. I worked in an organization that felt that that was important as well, and I got a lot of support, spent many years, and worked my way up to, I'd say, what I would consider middle management. I was a regional director. Loved doing that, but I was getting away from my practice. I found that I was managing people more than I was getting to practice what I loved doing. So at some point, I decided to take a plunge and leave and go somewhere else. And I didn't have another job. I just left and just decided to take stock of what I could do and see if my skills were transferable. I was lucky. I got to do some consulting, and that showed me that my skills were transferable, that I could do something else. And I worked my way into another leadership position right after that just kept me thinking that there was more. there's more I can do. There's more I can grow my skills. I can be even more valuable if I continue to stay on this path. I did a little bit of federal government, found that that really was not my bag. I had been in for-profit for my entire career, and all of a sudden I was in a public sector that was very different for me. But it was a good journey for me. I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about my own limitations and the barriers I had put up for myself. And at that point, I did seek my own coach. And I had some great growth that took place at that time. You know, it was a time for me to explore what my motivations were, what things were keeping me away from what I really wanted to do. And it was through that I discovered I really did like not-for-profit, but I did like the ability to push forward. I was always after that next thing. I wanted to climb that next rung of the ladder. And healthcare enabled me to do that. So I went into healthcare for several years and worked my way into a position where I was the one and only organizational development practitioner in my area. That was its own level of leadership because I was in demand. I was getting to practice not only coaching, but a lot of consulting. And I'd say that's where I kind of honed my craft. I was recruited to another healthcare agency on the West Coast. My other one was in Maryland. I came to the West Coast and continued to practice and just found that that wasn't enough. And I had to keep thinking back to the mentor I had in the very beginning of my career who said, don't ever stay anywhere more than 5 years because if you do, you'll get stale and and you won't be effective. Mm. And so after 5 years, I moved into another area. Along the way, I decided I needed to go for coaching. I needed to become a coach. And the only place I could ever think of going was Hudson, the Hudson Institute for Coaching in Santa Barbara. I had wanted to be a Hudson coach since I was 18, I think, or 19. And I got a chance to meet Frederick Hudson when he was still alive and doing a lot to build the Coaching Institute. I felt like I needed to be there, and I applied, and I couldn't believe I actually got in. So a few years ago, I went through the Hudson program, and when I came out, I felt very different. As I was going through the program, I felt different, but I felt very different. For the first time in my life, I felt like my skills that I have grown over the years and the new skills that I've gotten through Hudson now make me a whole person. I feel like a whole person. And I know that sounds maybe a little bit fluffy, but it's absolutely true. I think I have built my career out of all of the different skills that I've built, the experience I've gained, the knowledge I've gained through either going through school or through working through problems in organizations, and I feel like I've got it now. I feel like I have it, and I also feel like I'm going to continue to learn so that I don't let myself get stale. So that's my story, and that's where I came from.
Wonderful journey, absolutely. Wonderful journey. Let's talk about the actual, you're a certified coach. You love what you do. Let's talk about some of the work that you do at TrueSN Coaching and Consulting, because there's a lot of coaches out there. There's a lot of different ways of going about it. Let's talk about the work that you do and what makes it unique from your understanding, your method, your approach.
TrueSN Coaching is, you know, when I was in coaching, I decided I really wanted a company that would speak to those people who had gotten to some point in their career but did not feel that they were at the point they wanted to be, and or they weren't realizing the success that they thought they were going to be able to achieve when they started. And I took a look at, you know, what what does true ascent mean, really? And to ascend to a certain level of leadership, that's one thing. That's you're getting to a level. So you've gone from a lower level to where you are, or you've gone from outside to inside. And that's, to me, that is an ascent. But if you haven't realized your passion, or if you haven't gotten to a point where you feel you are where you need to be, then you haven't really reached your true ascent. So through coaching, I feel that my practice, I partner with the people that I work with in an effort to help them realize what their true leadership level is, or what their true space in this world is, so that they're happy, that they're fulfilled, that they are realizing their potential, and that they have broached possibilities that they never thought they could before. So that is what I think I bring. I am able to, through conversation, through questioning, through partnering with my clients, I can help them step up in a safe space, take risks, question their thinking, face themselves in the mirror and ask those really difficult questions towards getting to the answers they're looking for. For those people who aren't leaders yet, I see my enthusiasm for what I do, hopefully being infectious enough to grab their enthusiasm, get them excited about what they could do. And so exploring all the possibilities is really fun. It's very fun. And it can be a little, I don't know, daunting for people who have never done it before, because it's exploring the unknown. But if you're willing to go there, it is fun, it's exciting, and it's amazing what people come up with just because they've had that safe space to experiment and to test and to bounce ideas. It's a lot of fun. I think that's what I bring to coaching, and it is what I love doing. And while I know there are many coaching organizations and there are many individual coaches out there who do very similar things, we all come with our unique selves. And that's what makes our different coaching unique. We may all be leadership coaches, who knows, but we all have a slightly different approach based on our experiences, our knowledge, the skills that we've gained, and our curiosity. You know, how curious am I? I don't have the answers. It's not my agenda that I coached you. It's the other person's agenda. And so with my personality and their agenda, we can make things grow. We can go places.
That's a beautiful thing. That's the key. Part of the ascent in that positive direction. The beginning of the conversation, of course, obviously establishing trust and maybe a safe place is essential. It's paramount, trust between you and them and you, because when people feel trust, they feel heard, listened to, appreciated, respected, not judged, which, again, you're a great listening ear. You're great to bounce things off of, because there's no prejudgment. There's no, which could exist with other colleagues or friends or family. They could already have the person sized up, and it might not be an accurate depiction of who that person is. But with you, they feel comfortable enough to emote, to share, even maybe their biggest fears and whatever it may be, their hopes, dreams, and desires. So when you begin that conversation, I know establishing that trust and that comfort zone is essential, because, and it's essential for you, because they may be sharing things with you that they don't share with their closest loved ones and friends, right?
That's right. Yeah, it's all about building rapport and establishing that trust. And until I open up a little bit in the beginning, I don't expect other people to feel comfortable opening up to me. If they don't know me a little bit, it's going to be very hard for them to trust me to know them. So I believe that that first conversation is all about getting to know each other. I really want to know, you know, what brought them to coaching. What makes them think coaching is the answer? I want to know what, you know, what are their hopes and their dreams? You know, what are the things that, that make them tick? What gets them excited? You know, what things don't get them excited? What are things that they do or they don't like? I also want them to know what coaching really is. If they haven't had coaching before, if they've had it before, they probably know, but I still want to go over what is coaching? You know, what can you expect? And what coaching is not, because it's not therapy. You know, I'm not a therapist, I'm a coach, and there's a definite line between the two. It may feel sometimes like it's muddied, but that is a line. And so I want people to be very clear that they're not going into therapy, and that in itself can raise the trust level for some people who resist that kind of intimacy. So, you know, that it's really building a relationship on the front end. And in that first meeting, I don't know if I'm going to be their coach. It's not until we've had that first meeting and they go away and they make, you know, they think about what we talked about, and then they make their decision if they want me to try coaching. I also have the responsibility to determine if the coaching relationship will work. And in that first meeting, that's when I should know that. So if I find that a person is not able to be open, or that they're masking so much that I can't really get a sense of who they are or what they really need, I may not be the person to be their coach. And it's a coach's responsibility to be able to say, you know, I don't think I'm your coach. I might know somebody who might be better for you, but I wouldn't want you to enter into a coaching agreement and then not get what you want from it or what you need from it. And that does happen.
Yeah, I can imagine. Absolutely can happen. And, you know, it's how we react to things that really makes a difference. What is your definition of a strong leader, your philosophy on that?
You know, I believe, thanks for asking that question. I believe that strong leaders are people who operate off a foundation of sound values. A person who doesn't have values or makes their decisions without seeking their values or looking at their values, I think is probably missing some major cues. At least that's been my experience. Whether it's values-based leadership, where a leader is looking at the organization's values and acting on those, which is great. You know, organizations love that. Or if a leader is looking at their own personal values when they make a decision, you know they're making a decision based on something that they truly believe, something that they know and trust. A value is something that you know about yourself, or you know about your actions, that you trust and that don't let you down. I can tell you times when I've made decisions against my own values, and they have come back to bite me every single time. It's not until I went back and looked at my values and said, okay, that was not the right move. I need to do it differently. When leaders look to their values and they act on them consistently, that sets a tone that the people who work for them can look at as a point of reference. And when I, as a follower, am following a leader who lives their values and makes it known, and they're consistent in their behaviors, then I will follow that person as far as I can, especially if it is, you know, if it's to the benefit of everyone, the business, the leader, and to the team. And I find that strong leaders are able to do that usually. And when you look at a leader who is compassionate, who is empathic, who has the trust of their team, then it doesn't take a lot to influence them to follow. So I think a leader who is well-grounded in their own personal and their organizational values is a leader that most people would want to follow. So consistent behavior is another thing. Being consistent is so important. You know, if a leader does one thing really well one time, that's a one-hit wonder in my world. If they do it consistently over and over again, that's something you can trust. So when you were talking about trust, that's exactly what I see as trust. Consistent behaviors, actions, and words.
Very important, absolutely. Yes, behaviors, action, words. It's all part of the equation. You can't have one without the other. It's all in tandem. You know, a lot of times, as we know, organizations are very fixed on the bottom line, while at the same time, people are thrust into these leadership positions that don't have the skills, and it's not even something that they wanted to do or thought they'd ever do. It's just osmosis. Somebody moved on, or there's been downsizing, or whatever it may be, and now they are a leader. One of the things that I've noticed that I'm sure you have seen, and it's in a positive direction, is that leaders are realizing they need to roll up the sleeves and maybe be a little more empathetic and not just be the boss up in the ivory tower looking down at everything, but being a part of it and listening to concerns and suggestions and ideas and sort of really that empathetic team spirit, we're all in this together approach seems to be the way we're headed, which is, I think, a positive.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. In fact, I think that I hate to use the pandemic again, but the pandemic has really forced a lot of that as well. You know, in organizations where the leader may have been in their office with the door closed and people really didn't know who the leader was, all of a sudden this person had to reach out to the workforce and keep them engaged remotely. And that's not an easy thing to do. So organizations are starting to see more and more leaders reaching out to their workforces and reaching out across and down the organization to appeal to their groups, to engage them in new ways of thinking, to get them involved in brainstorming new ideas and things they could do. And that involves and engages the workforce. It's also showing compassion in a lot of ways, because leaders who may not have ever felt comfortable with that, it doesn't mean that they didn't have it, but they may not be as confident about it. The further up you go on the ladder, sometimes the further away from the work you go, right? And when you don't get to touch the people who actually do the work on a regular basis, you start to lose your confidence a little bit about your ability to get in there and be one of the people. So this has forced, with everybody being at home in some organizations and in others where part of the organization was at work and the other part was at home, leaders have had to think of new ways to reach out to their people and to engage them in conversation, to get them excited about continuing to work, especially these days when businesses are starting to bring their people back and their folks are saying, I've had it. I don't want to do this anymore. And so I see a lot of the companies that where the leader has reached out and the leader's been consistently present online, whether it's on Teams or Zoom or whatever, those are the folks who are more likely to often to come back and give their all to, you know, to the benefit of the business. So it has been a challenge. I do want to go back to your opening question there or your statement about organizations bringing people up who may not even want to be there. I think a lot of that was back in the day, and I think that organizations
still do
that. I'm going to
slip in real quick. We'll continue. We're running out of time, but I want to get that website in case people are listening live, because this is archived. It's going to be archived in its entirety so people can listen to it later archived. But I want to get that website in case somebody's listening live right now. And the website to connect with Patricia is TrueAscentCoachingLLC.com. That is TRUEASCENT, and then the word coaching, LLC.com, website to connect with Patricia Ryan. Okay, now you can continue. We're still recording the show.
Thanks. I'll make this pretty brief. Organizations bring people in from within. They bring people up from within only when they have a need. It's not because they're trying to do some favor for the person. And so often they'll look to the people who are their best practitioners in a certain role, and they might want to put them in a supervisory role. But if they don't give them the resources and the tools and the skill building to be better leaders, they're leaving a practitioner out there to dry. And that's why often our leaders aren't as strong as we want them to be. It's not always, but often that's the case. A person they can't swim very well if they don't know the rules, if they don't know how to swim. So teaching them how to swim or teaching them how to be the leader that you want to see is to the advantage of the organization. And I think more and more organizations are starting to realize that. It's more expensive to bring someone in from outside, to recruit them, to bring them in, and to wait the 12 to 18 months for them to ramp up and be a producing member of leadership, than it is to bring someone up in the business. It's also more engaging for employees to think that there might be promotions from within. But you have to give them the tools, and you have to give them the resources. And that's sometimes where coaching comes into play. You know, a coach can help kind of spark new thinking and new ideas for those people who are learning to be leaders and learning to be coaches, or learning to be leaders and learning to be good managers. So I think that, you know, organizations are trying, and I think they're making big strides, and especially this last year and a half, they've really had no other choice. So I'm hoping that continues as we start bringing our workforces back to their work sites.
Perfect. It's wonderful. You obviously love what you do, and you're very good at it, Patricia. And I do want to let folks know that this episode is recorded in its entirety. And again, if you would like to check things out further, the website, it is TrueAscentCoachingLLC.com, right? That's correct?
Yes, that's correct. Thank you.
Perfect. My pleasure. So again, check it out, folks. Patricia is amazing at what she does, and she loves her work, and she's available. And now with technology, you can really be residing anywhere and get the coaching and the consulting that Patricia offers so beautifully for her clients. Patricia, thanks so much for joining us here on the program. Really a pleasure. Very eye-opening and thought-provoking and positive. And a pleasure chatting with you on the show today.
Jim, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure for me. I really enjoyed the moment. I hope you take care.
Oh, I did too. Oh, you do as well. And keep doing the amazing work that you're doing. And hopefully we'll chat again soon down the line, maybe hear some success stories, case studies, things of that nature. A pleasure, Patricia. And stay cool. I know it's a little warm where you are, as it is here on the East Coast. The website, again, is TrueAscentCoachingLLC.com. Our guest, Patricia Ryan, a certified coach, organizational development consultant, and founder of True Ascent Coaching and Consulting, where she helps her clients ascend toward achieving their best aspirations and goals. I'm your host, Jim Masters. Thanking you for your time this time. Till next time, thank you for being with us. I'll be back in about a half hour with another amazing guest right here for you on Close Up Radio. Till then, for all of us, have a terrific day. Thanks for listening, and bye for now.
You have been listening to a broadcast from Close Up Radio, a division of Close Up Television Incorporated. For more information about our show and to be considered for future broadcasts, please visit closeuptelevision.com. You may also learn about us on social media and listen to us on podcast and internet radio. Thank you for joining us, and we hope that you have an empowered and productive day.